When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're now locked into The Zone with Diamonds and Roses podcast, bringing you one step closer to Pacific Northwest and Southwest Canada baseball news, stories, and history. Proudly fueled by Baseballism, their America's brand, and Devo Bat Company, professional wood grain bats for the love of the game. And now your hosts, Ben and Travis.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Diamonds and Roses podcast, season six. We've brought some great episodes this season so far, and it's not going to stop there. We got a great episode for you today, and we have a young ball player out of Jesuit High School here in Oregon that has just made the Oregonians' top 100 players to watch in the state. It's a great athlete, and without further ado, I'd like to bring on and introduce my guest, Dustin Doherty. Dustin, how's it going?
It's doing great, Ben. How are you?
I'm doing well. I appreciate you joining me for this episode, and I'm so happy to have you on.
Oh, man, the pleasure's all mine.
Before we, like, jump into a bunch about you, Dustin, let's talk about this baseball season so far. How is it going for you? Like, clearly Jesuits, according to some of Prep Baseball Report and others, one of the top programs in the state this year. How's it going?
Man, I love our team, all the way from the coaches to even the guys that are like jumping between JV and varsity. Like, the atmosphere that they create is just amazing. It's really a privilege to be a part of.
Is it like a family sort of like kind of feeling that you get with all your ball team?
Absolutely. It's just like a brotherhood. And I feel like I can rely on every single one of those guys to have my back into the week.
What's some things that you've learned from the head ball coach there at Jesuit? And from a leadership standpoint, what's something that sticks out to you most about him?
Man, I love Griff. I actually also have power training during school, so I get to hang around him then too. Something I really noticed about him is his drive towards like the team itself and how much time and effort he puts into it. Like, it's actually crazy. I feel like that's all he does. Like, he lives and breathes his Jesuit baseball. And it's always like on his mind. I really can't believe that we have someone that great to be our coach.
From a leadership standpoint, what's something that like he's taught you and some of the other ball players on the team that kind of hits home to you and you try to utilize throughout life right now?
I don't think leadership is something really that big that he pushes. I think it's all like we're all like the kind of same level and we're all like just pushing towards a common goal. We don't even have a team leader. Right? We all just kind of look up some guys, obviously, but you know, we're all pretty on the same level.
So just like nobody's better than the other, everybody's on the same board, but you know, gentlemen, like yeah. The thing at the end of the day was, it's the eye on the prize. Like, what are some of those steps? Like, what are our like goals? Does he have any like short term, long term goals? Like, obviously, clearly the long term goal is to win the state championship. But I mean, there's like probably these like little things along the way, these little nuggets that he's giving you to like, okay, we need to accomplish this. We need to accomplish that. Is that one game at a time, or is that like parts of the season?
Yeah. So we actually have like a sheet of paper with a list of goals for every single game, and we try to hit five different things and like try to fill out this piece of paper for every single game. And we also have like goals for our regular season, where our goal is to win 23 games. And we've like really like ingrained that with us. Like, even in the preseason, we would work everything to 23, 23, 23. Like, we would do 23 minutes of whatever.
Wow. Interesting. So it's like the, Now, is 23 the number of games? So that would be like a perfect season for you as a team for regular season?
No, that would not. I think it's around 25 because he doesn't want us to strive for perfection because that puts a lot of pressure on us as players.
Mm-hmm.
And he really wants to push away from that kind of perfectionist mentality, especially from Jesuit.
Okay. So it's like, okay, let's take a look at the number of games that we're playing and let's set a realistic goal that we think that we can accomplish and let's drive ourselves. And I like the idea of like you're setting goals for each individual game. Name a couple of these goals that have been sort of frequent that have come up consistently after game after game after game.
So one of the things that we really take pride in is the free bag game. And so we basically tally points from each team to see who gives up the least amount of free bags. And a free bag could be like a batter walked, a hit by pitch, or a stolen bag, or big ones are errors. And it's just to see how many free bags each team gives up. And that's something we really take pride in.
What is he telling you right now? And what are you doing as a team to, like I said earlier, because you know, you're PBR, others, Oregonian, have you guys at the top of the food chain right now and in your league. What are you guys doing to kind of keep yourself level-headed, focused in on the next game?
So something that we've really been struggling with early on in the season was big flies. And so recently, we've really been successful with it recently, is this one small ball and also just destroying the gaps in infield and just absolutely just scorching balls through the gaps
mm-hmm.
instead of trying to go for hits over the fence or anything.
Okay. I mean, these sound like some really good goals and, you know, taking it like one step at a time and approaching each individual day as it upon itself. So I really like what your coach has got you going. But let's now that we got some of that out of the way, and we can kind of jump back into that a little bit at the end. But let's start off with some early times for you with baseball. First of all, like what got you into the game of baseball? Was it something with your parents? Is it something that you just watched, were interested in it, or just something you stumbled upon?
So actually, from a really, really young age, my dad threw me right into it. And it was kind of weird because he never like played baseball. He played 1 year in high school, but he was mostly a football guy. And so I don't know what it was, but he really like, I guess he gave me that baseball idea and I just kind of rolled with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I started from like 3 years old. And I just remember like him like giving me ground balls and inside the house, or if we maybe like go out and hit some balls in the field or something.
He's talking about doing fielding inside the house. Have you watched the movie Battered Bastards of Baseball, where Kurt Douglas talks about his father? He's like, we didn't have a living room. He's like, we had like this like practice facility. Is that your place?
Yes. I have not seen the movie, unfortunately. I'd have to watch that later tonight.
Yeah, you're going to. It's on Netflix, and it's about the Portland Mavericks. It's something that I would encourage you to watch from a Portland history on baseball. It's really funny. And once you watch that, you'll get what I'm talking about as you bring that up.
It sounds exactly what we're doing. Like we have this kind of like hallway, and he like short hop the ground balls, or like as I'm on my knees. And we also have like this, like we turn like a living room into like a batting cage sort of, where we have like this net and we hit balls off like a string.
Oh my God. I mean, this totally sounds like Kirk Douglas. Okay, you're going to laugh when you watch that. You're going to say Ben was right. And you got to watch it with your dad. You got to watch it with your dad because your dad will appreciate that point. Dad got you into this early age. Was he bringing you to games? Were you watching games on TV? Like what's some favorite teams of his that he's talked to you about?
Yeah, we watched a lot of games on TV. We haven't really gone to any a bit like MLB games. We've gone to a bunch of Hop games. I think we've gone to like three of those. But it's mostly just on TV, and especially college baseball. Recently, we've been really into college baseball.
What's your favorite baseball team right now? If you have a professional baseball team, if not, like what's your favorite college team? Because you just talked about watching tons of college baseball right now.
So the family favorite for MLB is gonna definitely gonna be the Angels. It started off with my mom, and she kind of like bled through, I guess. But a close second would be the Mariners. I love watching some of those guys on there. College is quite a few. Obviously, I love seeing the battles between OSU and U of O. But another team that I've been watching recently is Texas A&M, and I've been enjoying watching those games.
What about Texas A&M that really like gets you interested in them?
I love watching balls fly. That's probably my favorite thing about baseball, and those guys let the ball fly.
I noticed that you are a three different positions: shortstop, you're a right-handed pitcher, third base. Did you start off what position did you start off with? Could have been infield, outfield, or was it pitching? Or did pitching come after the fact, or was it always there from the beginning?
It was definitely middle infield. That's definitely my primary position, and it always has been. And there's a lot of love for the middle part of the field. Pitching definitely came as second. It really has bled out these past few years. I haven't really pitched much, which doesn't really bother me. But and third base kind of came from training as a shortstop, and so I see myself as more of an infielder now than a right-hand pitcher.
What's it about infielding for everybody? Is it the speed? Is it like that constant involvement in the game?
Yes, absolutely. The constant involvement in the game. The ball always comes back to the infield. I do love getting the ball quick. There's something just so satisfying about bang bang and he's out. And if I'm gonna play on a field, I love turf because it plays really fast, but I also love like hard dirt. I just like getting the ball quick, taking my time, and just zipping one over.
Turf field is things are whipping. Can be a little bit hotter playing on turf than it would be on just natural grass, right?
Yes, absolutely. I actually have a couple memories from last summer when I was with my club team, Coast to Coast Astros, and we went over to Idaho, and it was really, really hot. But and we played on a couple of turf fields, and I just felt like I was melting into the turf.
But turf is nice to have because, like, you're, as you could tell, last several weeks with here in the Pacific Northwest, getting some of that rain early on or overnight, you don't have to worry about the mud pit that's around the field because it's just so inundated with water. And so it does allow you to get in a lot more games, which I'm sure you're probably happy with not having to cancel.
Yeah, that's something I really love about Jesuit is our turf field. Like, I feel like half of our away games have been moved home just because another school doesn't have a turf field. And so that really helps out, like, with the home field advantage. But turf is definitely a blessing for the Pacific Northwest.
What's been a memory of yours that you've made playing baseball that just sticks out to you the most?
Okay, I have a couple. The first one is I played JBO when I was younger, for the lower JBO team, and I just remember making some really meaningful connections over there with a couple of those guys, and I remember like all the competition and the greediness that came from there, and that was definitely a special time to me. But the other time would be this infield guy I would see once a week during the off season, and I would give 90 or yeah I would give 90% of my infielding would be from him, and I just learned so much. And he played minor leagues, but I remember every single weekend I would go over there, no matter how tired I was. My dad would drive me over, and even like after any other activities, like we used to go snowboarding on Saturdays, and so we'd wake up at like 5, 6 in the morning, drive over to the mountain, snowboard the entire day, and then I get to come home and hit and take ground balls for an hour in at the yard. Definitely something I'm never gonna forget.
So you had some training at one of the local facilities called the Yard. Was that how long did you do that for?
I started young, and I think I was around 10-ish, and I did that for 4 or 5 years, every single off-season. Maybe longer. I think I started when I was 8.
And what were you doing, like working on hitting, fielding, or a combination thereof?
It was all middle infield. Everything you would do was middle infield, and just tons and tons of reps. I mean, we get maybe like 300 ground balls every single night. It was crazy.
Wow, that's a lot of ground balls, but it ingrains into your head kind of like what to do after that. So you probably did that, what,
Oh yeah.
couple days a week? When was would that be or is it like once a week?
It was just once a week. I definitely go twice a week if it was available.
That's some commitment right there. Very committed to the game. What have you learned so far from baseball that you're applying to your everyday life?
Something that immediately pops up would be adversity. Just coming out on top, no matter what the circumstances are. I definitely got that from baseball, and I definitely apply that to school and just really anything.
You think that like baseball has helped you from a personal standpoint with like being able to handle if you don't get something a good grade on something, not saying you don't, but like if you don't get a good grade on something, you can handle a little bit better because things that baseball's taught you, or just you don't get something and baseball has just kind of taught you to like, okay, we could deal with this and we can move on.
Oh yeah, definitely from like an offensive standpoint from baseball, just being used to failure and being able to cope with that definitely helps with, say, getting a bad grade, and it definitely like helps you see past it and look for the next one, the next test, the next essay, anything.
Let's take a minute and let's have you provide some words of wisdom for people like myself, for example. Like, I have a young son who is playing baseball. He's 10 years old, or any other father like yours who listens to this podcast and others that are out there, or mothers that are out there that listen to this podcast. What are some things that from your standpoint that you can tell us that maybe we could do to help them learn or be better ball players altogether from your experience?
Practice. Practice makes perfect. Practice helps your confidence. Confidence is huge, and having the ability to know that you're going to do something without a doubt is, in my opinion, what makes people mediocre to great, and from great to mind-blowing. I mean, I definitely think that there's a relation between how much you practice and your confidence in game, because that's definitely where I got my confidence from.
What point in your career do you think that like it started to click for you and you started to have that confidence where you could go in and you were just like, you know what? I can do this. I'm going to go have a great game today, or I'm not worried about this pitcher, whether or not they throw a million miles an hour. You know what? I have the confidence. I can do it.
It was when I was 14, and I joined PBC, Portland Baseball Club, and I just remember when I was there, I would practice every single day, and that season it was just different. I mean, that was like by far the most fun I've ever had playing baseball, was that season. I mean, I just felt like I couldn't get out, and that was definitely a confidence thing from all the practice that preseason.
Very cool. I'm glad that like that just pops into your head and it's just automatic that you can remember that. Where are some cool places that you have been that you don't think that you would have without baseball?
So I started playing, like I mentioned earlier, with Alloa JBL. I played with them for a couple of years, and then from there, I moved to a place called BALB. It stands for Beaverton American Little League, and I played with them for like a year, and then from there, that's where I went to PBC, and that's where I feel like everything kind of changed, and I really looked at baseball more seriously and like with like a from a career standpoint. Like that's where like I saw myself going really far, and from there, with my confidence, I went to Coast to Coast Baseball, where I met some really great coaches there, who really pushed me and help me reach my goals. And then that I played with them for 3 years, and that takes me up to this next summer where I'm playing with BOM. And I'm really excited for that team. There's a lot of great guys on that team, and I can't wait to find some success with them.
Talk to us a little bit about that.
So BOM is led by Nick Lubicich. I'm not sure how long they've been a program for. I definitely remember playing against them for the last couple of years and hearing about their success. And this is my first year with them, and they've all been playing with each other for a while, so I can't wait to join something really, really cool.
Have you thought about checking out the summer collegiate wooden bat leagues at all?
Not this summer, but I am looking, or I am hoping to join one of those teams senior year, and kind of get my name out there a little bit more.
Yeah, because you can do that right after your senior year, and those are some really good experiences that I've seen that some new incoming freshmen have, and I've had some great success to that point. So after this year, you got one more year left at Jesuit. What are some personal goals that you have for yourself to finish out this year and going into your senior year?
So this year, I've been really focused on number of stolen bases, and that really keeps me focused on getting on base and cutting down strikeouts, cutting down flyouts, that kind of thing. And so far, I've been on track to have a pretty good year. Batting average obviously is important. And I've also really been trying to cut down on errors.
So what are some things that you doing personally to, besides reps and everything, but to constantly improve? Is there some stuff that you are working on as far as mentally and emotionally to help yourself stay in the mindset of the game at the time?
My approach has definitely changed. Trying to lace balls over second baseman's head. Especially with two strikes. Recently, I've been choking up, and that's really been a big help for getting out of two strikes.
Because it gets that head of the bat over the plate a little bit more. You're kind of coming in trying to get some good connection and just focusing on small ball at that point.
Yeah, just trying to bang six hole or four hole. I mean, it really helps with barrel control and just getting something in play.
Nice. Okay. So what are your goals for yourself? For your senior season, right? Is there something that you want to accomplish by then?
Nothing like really like in game wise, maybe like getting stronger. I really want to work on my squat deadlift. Currently I'm back squatting 330. I think my bench is like 220, but I definitely want to get stronger next year, be able to be that four hitter that will that we'll need next year with all these guys, these big seniors leaving.
Yeah, so you can step up and assume a more like a bigger role with the team, right?
That's correct, yes.
Now comes the time of the episode where I like to have a little bit of fun, and I'm sure you may have heard some of these, and I can see that smirk on your face like right now. He's like, okay, here comes the time when he asked me the crazy off-topic questions. But I like to do it because I like to have a little fun. So my first question is that if you could have any superhuman power and that's out there, what would it be and why?
So I've actually put a lot of thought into this one over the years, and it would have to be time control. Being able to
Time
fast forward,
control.
slow down. Yeah, slow down time, speed it up, rewind it. Anything to do with like time. I feel like that would be really cool.
Wow. That's interesting. That's one I haven't heard before. Usually it's like I could be either invisible or I could fly would be one, but having time control is an interesting one. Now, let me ask you another, let me ask you a piggyback question off that one. So if you could control time, okay, and you could go back in time to any sort of cool event or whatever it may be, what would be something that you would go back in and just kind of want to see and either see or be a part of?
Babe Ruth. I really want to watch Babe Ruth hit some home runs. That would be a dream come true, but obviously that can't happen, but
But this is what I'm saying. This is like crazy questions. If you could, what would you do? So go and see if. Would it be to go see Babe Ruth call the shot or just to go watch him hit a home run?
just watch him play. I mean, I've always been curious about how things have changed since then, and he's definitely a big role in the baseball history.
For me, if because I have thought about this, and because somebody asked me the question at one point, they're like, "If you could go back in time or go to any place and watch baseball, you know, what would it be and why?" And for me, it would be like I'd like to go back to Ebbets Field, and I'd like to watch Jackie Robinson play with the Brooklyn Dodgers. I mean, that for me would be like one of the coolest things, or go to Kansas City and watch the Monarchs maybe play the Homestead Grays. Just because you got Josh Gibson, you got Satchel Paige, you got Buck O'Neill, and you have Jackie Robinson, who was there for a short period of time, but you have a lot of great like baseball players that play there. So those would be my two.
Definitely talking about adversity, Jackie Robinson. Oh man.
Yeah. So let's figure out if what's I know we talked about baseball. You didn't really you said the Seattle was kind of like your team, but you got maybe the Angels from your mom.
Yeah, that's right. I'm definitely an Angels guy. Like, if anyone asked me, I was fond of the Angels. But recently I've been catching on with the Mariners and JP Crawford and those guys.
Yeah. J.P. Crawford's been doing really good. I like the dynamic duo of Ohtani and Trout in LA. Yeah, I think it's just magnificent. And it's realistically, it's like, I think like a once in a lifetime sort of being able to see just two guys that can play elite level baseball like that. And like they talk about, like, we haven't had, there hasn't been somebody in baseball since Babe Ruth that has been able to pitch and hit like an Ohtani. I mean, that's just amazing to be able to watch that. And I'm only talking about this because, you know, the Angels, and I feel like it's pretty phenomenal to be able to be as an Angels fan to watch those two players.
Oh yeah, that's definitely something definitely special that the Angels have right now.
I mean, because for me, it's like growing up, I got to watch the Atlanta Braves religiously in the early to mid 90s, and you're looking at one of the, I think, is one of the best pitching staffs in my time ever put together, with Smoltz, Clavin, Avery, just phenomenal pitching staff there. So tell me something that is, as far as my last kind of interesting questions here, tell me something funny about your dad and how that comes with baseball, as far as reactions. And I can give you one of mine if you want me to start off with something with my dad.
Oh yeah, you should go first. Go ahead.
Okay. So for me anyways, when I was younger, we were, my brother, my oldest brother, and I think I may have said this story before, but my oldest brother was like always wanting me to work with him on pitching. Okay. And so we'd be out in the backyard and be throwing and back and forth. And he's like, all right, well, throw harder, boy, throw harder. So I'd be like trying to throw. And then just this one time, the ball, like, I released a little high and it like slipped out of my hands and it went flying over his glove and went right through the window of my house. And you could hear my
Ouch.
Dad like yelling and screaming so bad. Because it's like, I mean, I know how he feels now, because I can imagine the pain. But just like throwing that ball through the window, it's kind of funny because he got so mad at that. But I was out back trying to throw the baseball, so he wasn't mad for too long, anyways.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. That's definitely been something I've always tried to avoid, breaking a window. It's like in my nightmares about breaking one.
But you're doing BP and stuff inside the house, so I think your dad is kind of putting that on himself a little bit.
I don't know. We have a solid area. It's like on a string attached to the wall, so like,
okay,
it really can't go anywhere else.
Yeah, but there's always the chance. You know what you could say to your dad? It's like, look, Dad, you need some netting in here, because there's always a chance that this little itty bitty, I mean, you're trusting his string. I mean, to hold that baseball. I'm like, dude, you know, you trusted a little itty bitty string, and look at all these windows around here. You better be careful. And just let me know I warned you.
Yeah. Going back to your question, it wasn't one specific time, but it was, I think it was about a year ago when we played catch over at Champions Field, and my dad's arm wasn't quite strong enough to keep up with mine, and so my little brother, would have to come up and like stand like halfway so that he could throw it to my little brother. My little brother is to me, and that was always a lot of fun and entertaining to be doing.
Yeah, I'll throw your dad. Yes, nice. I know my son's almost at the point where he can outthrow me, and that's good. I'm okay with that. But I would be like, it would be bad of me not to bring up your mom and just the level of influence that your mom has had on you growing up and playing baseball and supporting you, being there for you. Tell me a little bit about your mom and what it means to have that level of support from her, because it's just as important as your dad. And I'm sure there are other ways that your mom supports you that your dad maybe doesn't feel like with your dad.
Oh yeah, my mom, wow. So she's amazing, really. But every single game throughout high school, she tracks on an app, and so we have like our own little like place where we can go to look at stats and all that, which I know is a bad thing, but you know, sometimes you can't help yourself. But she also helps big time with keeping us on time and not being late, because my dad and I were just horrible at that kind of thing. And so
I am the same exact way.
And so she's like the time police and always getting us out of the house on time, and even like 15 minutes early. So she's always been great.
You know, it's I'm bad with timing. My wife helps me out like all the time, so it's like I can imagine your dad just absolutely appreciates the fact that your mom is a stickler for time. So,
Oh,
but it's teaching you life lessons. Always be early, and it's important. So listen to your mom, is what I'm saying. Listen to your mom. She knows what's good for you.
she does. Yes, she does.
So you got it. I mean, I hate to put you on the spot about her, but there's got to be some funny baseball related story with your mom.
So, when my dad would hit me some ground balls at the same field. We used to have her play first base, and so my dad would give her a catcher's glove to try and help out her hand. But every single time she'd be like waving her hand back and forth because it stung.
Yeah.
But eventually we got a sock net to put over there so I can just throw balls in the sock net.
Okay. Yeah, I know with mine, it's like I'd play catcher when I was younger, and I remember just one time I was like I stupidly put my glove out too far and I got hit with the bat, and I was like with pain, and my mom's like wanted to like rush out onto the field. My dad's like, "Oh, you just calm down, he's gonna be okay." And she's like, "It's my baby," because I was the youngest of all. "Oh, my baby." And I love my mom, and I appreciate everything, like, you know, that she's done and all the support. But you know, that's one of those, even though I got her, it was still funny that she was just like wanting to rush out there and be there for me. But you know, love her and appreciate it. So but anyhow, you know, that'll conclude our off sort of somewhat off topic, you know, questions for the episode. But I just want to touch back and go back into to Jesuit and right now. And again, like I said, your team is doing very well right now. And you're coming to the stretch where you're working on finishing up. Well, probably not finishing up games, but you're what, about halfway through the schedule right now?
That's correct. Yeah, we're a little over halfway.
Yeah, so you have your games line. When do playoffs start for you?
They're in May, I believe. Don't
Okay,
quote me on
so that
that. I'm quarter of months.
so you're not that far off then. From that. So, yeah, well, I know I'll be watching out, checking in on how you're doing, and I'll definitely keep messaging you and rooting for you and Jesuit. I know you guys got an interesting ride this year. And it doesn't feel like, to me anyways, and you can lead it doesn't feel like this is an easy league by any means with the level of talent that's out there.
Oh, absolutely not. Our next opponent, Sunset, has a pretty good lefty, Chris Schoolcraft, and another team that we should be watching out for is Mountainside. I mean, this is the part of the season where you have to bear down and really focus up.
And I'm sure that if you guys could stick together as a team, which you've been doing this year, you will compete, not only compete, but compete very well up to the end. So, I'm really rooting for you, and I'll be happy to see how things turn out for you this season, Dustin.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you, and I really do appreciate you joining me on this episode of the podcast, and I appreciate you and your dad being a listener.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Well, that'll do it for this episode of the Diamonds and Roses podcast. Like I said, and I mentioned, go ahead and just follow Dustin and check him out at Jesuit High School. You know, they got some great games coming up the rest of this year. It should be very interesting between them. And then I know that there's West Lynn High School there, and there's several others out there that are really good and they're really competing. And I think that the state of Oregon's got some really, really good talent there, and Dustin's part of that really, really good talent. So I appreciate Dustin coming on. And like I said, that'll do it for this episode. Where you have a great day wherever you are at, and peace out.